part of the deal is that they're, you know, they took forever for Congress to reach this agreement. This agreement comes includes major, major cuts to agency spending that are going to be very difficult to implement. And not only that, it isn't clear yet what's going to happen in terms of the area of pay and benefits. The only thing we know is that virtually every deficit commission and every gang of six and every senator who's come up with something on this has included fairly significant cuts in pay and or retirement benefits.
Well, it's interesting, too, that you say about the cuts that will be hard for agencies to implement, because that's true. But it's also true that in the grand scheme of the entire budget, the cuts are almost insignificant.
Yeah, I mean, in the overall scheme of things, that's true. In terms of what they take out of the operating budgets of agencies, though, those are going to be some very steep cuts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is going to be a very big challenge for agencies to implement these things. It's, you know, the first cut is $100 billion over 10 years, which in the overall budget, if you put in Social Security and Medicare and everything else, isn't that much money.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes real money when you're talking about appropriations for agencies.
Yeah. So the situation now is we have the House is gone. There are literally members already at the airport headed back to their districts. The Senate is still, or was as of about the time that I came on the air, was still wrangling about an FAA bill, but Senator Reid's office says that they don't have enough votes to pass the House version of the bill. And if the House is gone, that means that they can't vote potentially on something that would come out of the Senate or work on a conference bill there. So the FAA is going to be in partial shutdown mode till, like, at least after Labor Day, I guess.
Yeah, and we've got a ticker on our website that based on the FAA's estimate that they're losing $200 million a week in revenue.
See,
that's
can
$35 a second. It's well over $300 million now.
They're
fighting over $16 million.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, you can make the argument that, yes, we're in the financial situation that we're in and every little bit counts. I understand that. And $3,000 a ticket is the number that I've heard thrown around a couple of times. And Senator Coburn talked about that, and you'll hear his words in just a few minutes on Federal News Radio talking about these airport subsidies. I get all that, and a reasonable case, I think, could be made to eliminate those subsidies if it wasn't just the basic math problem that you just outlined, $16 million under debate, and so the government's not collecting $200 million a week. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. I mean, this is where we are right now in terms of the way the political system is functioning. Or not functioning.
Yeah, not functioning is the way that people are looking at it. And it seems that, to me at least, that a disproportionate amount of that dysfunction winds up impacting people like federal employees in particular who have absolutely no control over it, no way to do anything about it. They just kind of have to take it.
Yeah, that's right. I think that causes a lot of frustration, and I think it causes even more frustration when on the other end they get blamed for inefficiencies that result from failure to pass budgets in a timely fashion, to steeply cut budgets, to cut benefits in ways that demoralize the workforce. You know, these are all things they end up getting blamed for, lack of performance later on down the road.
Mm-hmm. You're writing about a number of different things on your Fed blog, and we have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com. And I read it every day, and I have it linked up in my RSS feed, so I always see when you post something on there or any of your colleagues post something. And I commend that to anybody interested in knowing what's going on. But it's just this overall sense of, not that you are writing about gloom and doom, and not that I'm necessarily talking about it on the air in that context of, oh, this stinks, but it's not hard, I guess, to understand why that message seems to be kind of written in between the lines, is it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I'll give you the silver lining you were looking for here.
Oh, thank you.
On the other end of this, my experience is, over a couple decades of following this, is what the people who work in government want is proper marching orders. What's the most frustrating thing for them is all the uncertainty. Just tell us what you want. Tell us what you need to get done. Tell us how much we're going to get in the way of resources to do it, and then we'll go ahead and get the job done. And I think that's really what people are looking for. And if they can get that now, I think you'll see other examples of government really innovating through this kind of crisis.
All right, I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that that's what we see when Congress comes back in August, or in September, because that's really where it's got to come from, right?
Yeah, it's where it has to originate. You know, they have to set budgets, they have to set targets, they have to provide the marching orders that people need to move forward.
All right, terrific. That is a silver lining, and I'm going to hold on to that and look forward.
Just a little bit of one.
Well, at this point, we'll take whatever we can get, right?
Right.